This is the Jewish News Podcast. I'm Michael Daventry, and coming up on this program... Sir Keir Starmer speaks to us about how Labour has changed under his leadership and what he does on Seder night. It was in April 2020 that Keir Starmer became leader of the Labour Party and vowed an end to the era of persistent anti-Semitism allegations under his predecessor, Jeremy Corbyn. But he began the job in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, so it's only now, 2 years into the Starmer era, that the Labour leader has given his first wide-ranging interview to Jewish News. He spoke to our political editor Lee Harpin about a range of issues, including how he handled those anti-Semitism allegations, whether politicians who felt hounded out of the party like Luciana Berger could ever return, and how he and the Jewish members of his family mark Passover together. In this episode of the Jewish News Podcast, we're going to play out that interview in full for you. But just before we start, let me tell you that it was recorded last Friday on April the 8th, so his predictions about whether Arsenal or Tottenham Hotspur will take the coveted fourth Champions League spot this season may seem a little out of date, at least right now. So let's get underway. The first voice you'll hear in this interview with Sir Keir Starmer is that of Jewish News' political editor, Lee Harpin.
Keir, thank you very much for joining us at Jewish News today.
Not at all.
Ahead of this interview, I've tried to speak to a cross-section of the Jewish community just to ask them what they want me to ask you. One question that did come up several times is the question of ideology. You've shifted the party quite considerably.
Yeah.
But there is concern that the same group of MPs, and they're a small group, the MPs that questioned whether there was anti-Semitism under Jeremy Corbyn, the extent of anti-Semitism under Jeremy Corbyn, these same MPs have resurfaced again with Ukraine and Russia, questioning NATO, etc., etc. Can you give a reassurance today that that ideology will not resurface at the helm of the Labour Party under your leadership?
Absolutely. And we've shifted the Labour Party considerably in the last 2 years on both of those issues. So on anti-Semitism, I felt it was really important in my very, very first message as Labour leader, one, to apologise unreservedly, and two, to say I'd make it my mission to tear out anti-Semitism by the roots. I knew that I had to follow that up with action.
Yeah.
And lots of Jewish colleagues and friends and many in the community said to me, I like the words, Keir, but I need to see the action. And that's what we've been doing in the last 2 years. And I hope people have seen the action that we're taking. And I'm very grateful to so many people in the Jewish community who gave me the space to show I was going to bring about and to bring about that change. On NATO, I've been really clear about our unshakable support for NATO. Ernest Bevin signed the original NATO treaty, which I went to have a look at out in Brussels the other day, on behalf of the then Labour government. So our commitment to NATO is unshakable. And one of the things I've been able to make absolutely clear in recent weeks is that I will not tolerate this false equivalence between Russian aggression and the acts of NATO. And that's why I took such a strong stand in relation to that. So whether it's anti-Semitism or this false equivalence in relation to Russian aggression and the actions of NATO, I think it's been very important for me to, as it were, lead from the front, to be very clear what this Labour Party under my leadership stands for and what we will tolerate and what we won't tolerate.
Would it be correct then to say some of these MPs, and I'm not going to name them, are now in the last chance saloon as far as you are concerned?
I think every MP and every member and every supporter now knows very, very clearly where this party stands on anti-Semitism and on NATO. And I think it's been very important for me to demonstrate that through the actions that I've taken.
Okay. Another issue that came up a lot, the issue of refugees.
Yeah.
Now, I spoke to conservative voices within the Jewish community. I've spoken to Labour voices across the community, which is, I think, is a great credit to the Jewish community. The government have unveiled their Homes for Ukraine scheme. It's come under lots of criticism. What would you do to improve it?
Well, there's nothing wrong with an idea of homes for Ukraine, Ukrainians coming here, particularly in the awful circumstance in which they find themselves. And You know, I'm very grateful to the British public for being so generous. So many thousands of people have said, actually, I'm very happy to provide sanctuary in my home. I am critical of the government because their approach to date has been too narrow, too slow, too mean, frankly. I mean, it took a while before the scheme was even set up. And now we've got the scheme, I don't see the support that it needs. When a number of the Afghan refugees arrived in the tail end of August, beginning of September, into parts of London, I spent some time with them. And as you can imagine, they were traumatised families, extremely worried, as all refugees are, about those that they've left behind. And they needed a lot of support, council support, specialist support, support for schools, our homes. It will be the same with Ukrainians. So I want to see the generosity of the British public matched by the genuine support of the government in relation to this. All I've seen so far is increasing difficulties of people who are actually trying to reach out under the Homes for Ukraine scheme. So I'm grateful to so many people who've been so generous. I'm critical of the government for being behind the curve on this yet again.
Putin waving the Nazi slur at the Jewish president of Ukraine, allegations of war crimes resurfacing. As a leader of a modern political party, how does this make you feel?
Absolutely abhorrent. And Putin needs to be held to account, and everybody who acts on his behalf needs to be held to account. Strongly supportive of military equipment being provided to Ukraine in their courageous defence of their cities and their countries. Strongly supportive of even stronger sanctions. I don't think the government's gone far enough and fast enough, so I want to see stronger sanctions in relation to that. I also want to be clear that what's happening in Ukraine are war crimes, particularly those harrowing, horrific pictures and images that we've seen. And it's very important that we speak with one voice, that any single person who's been responsible in any way for those war crimes is held to account through the International Criminal Court. And I want to ensure that if we do speak with one voice, that they are hunted down, and they know from this day onwards that they will never have a good night's sleep again, knowing that they will be held to account in the International Criminal Court.
Okay. Unfortunately, the last 2 weeks in Israel, we've seen a series of horrendous terror attacks.
Yeah.
Thursday night, again in Tel Aviv, 2 people killed. We saw Hamas, the ruling party in Gaza, come out with a statement last night supporting the actions of those terrorists. I think it is fair to call them terrorists. What would your message be to Hamas today?
Nobody should be supporting those acts. We should all be condemning those acts without reservation, and I do. I think of the individuals and their families and their communities that are affected by this. So nobody should be supporting that.
Do you still have a hope for a two-state solution?
I do. I do. With a safe and secure Israel and a sovereign Palestinian state, I think, although it's true that progress has been halted in the past, I don't think we should lose the ambition to make progress.
And your trip to Israel, which I know you were going to go, I think, last October.
Yes.
You had COVID at the time. Is that going to be rescheduled?
It is going to be rescheduled,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, of course, we've got extended family in Israel in any event. So
yeah.
I'm very close through the family to what's happening on the ground. But, yes, it will be rescheduled. COVID permitting.
Yes. Now, there are Jewish voices, and I hear them all the time, who also want a Labour Party that stands up and campaigns against issues such as settlements in Israel. And, can you give them a pledge that you won't forget their voice and you won't forget those who want to stand up on this issue?
Yeah, when it comes to settlements, I've been very clear in my condemnation of settlements, and that has to be part of the way we progress is dealing with those settlements. In the speech I gave to Labour Friends of Israel, I obviously made very clear my support of Israel, very clear my determination to terror and anti-Semitism. But there was a passage in the middle of that where I said, if we're going to be friends, we need to be honest. And I dealt in that with the question of settlements and other issues that need to be resolved. So, yes.
What about those who call for Israel's destruction, who say it doesn't have a right to exist? What would you say to them?
I've got no trouble with that at all. I want to see a safe and secure Israel.
Yeah. Okay. I want to fire a few questions very quickly here. Back to domestic politics, the local elections, Barnet and Bury, big Jewish communities. How hopeful are you of success? And obviously, this will be a big litmus test for your work around anti-Semitism.
Yeah, well, I was delighted to launch the national campaign for the Labour Party in Bury. I'm really delighted to launch the London campaign here in Barnet. And, you know, I take nothing for granted. I know I've got to earn every vote. But to me, it matters whether those that stop voting for Labour because of anti-Semitism feel now that they're safe and confident in voting for Labour. Because that's the test I always set myself. And, you know, when people like Louise Ellman came back to the party, that was a clear signal to me that we'd made progress. You can never make enough progress, and the battle is never over in relation to anti-Semitism. But those are the indications that mean a lot to me in my personal leadership of the Labour Party.
What about getting Luciana Berger back? Could we be doing more?
Look, I mean, I think there's plenty of discussions to be had with Luciana and others who left our party, felt driven from our party because of anti-Semitism. And whether it's Luciana or anybody else, I want those that felt that they couldn't be part of the Labour Party anymore to have the confidence to feel it's a home for them. And therefore, that's the spirit in which I'd have any conversation with Luciana or any other of the people that that moved away from the Labour Party.
Okay, very quickly. Obviously, next week we see Passover, Pesach, the big Jewish festival. Will you be sitting down for Passover Seder here?
We will, again, with family, friends. And so we're looking forward to that. I can't claim to be part of the organising committee for that, but I'll certainly be there.
And your children are now, they attend Hebrew classes, that's correct, isn't it?
No, they don't. We have quite often on Friday we have prayers, etc.
Yeah.
Because my wife's father's family is Jewish and he comes very often to us on a Friday night. So we want our children to know the tradition, know the family history, and therefore we do have those special moments
are
on a Friday.
Are you a fan of matzah, of unleavened bread?
Yeah.
The bitter herbs?
The bitter herbs. Whether they'd be first on my list is another matter. But it's all part of, you know, it's part of history and tradition and a story that we want our children to understand. And that's
and it really does have added significance, I think, the whole liberation, Exodus theme this year with what's going on.
It really does. It really does.
And I'll save the big question to last. I think this is the biggest question going around the Jewish community at the moment is, who's going to land that top four spot? Your boys, Arsenal, or my boys, Spurs?
So you've left the toughest question for last. It's got to be Arsenal.
You let me down.
It's the ball's in our court, as it were. But I'm going to, I mean, this will be a massive game now between Tottenham and Arsenal on the 12th of May. It's in my diary. I will be there. Actually, really looking forward to going to White Hart Lane because everybody says it's a fantastic stadium.
But you don't go with Jeremy Corbyn, do you?
I won't be going with Jeremy. I've never gone to football with Jeremy, and I'll be going actually with my family too, and David Lammy.
Oh, really?
So there'll be me and David standing next to each other. Usually, obviously, in huge humor, in unity of messaging. But I think that the messaging may go in different directions that night.
One last question. On a serious note, though, you repeatedly asked to apologise for serving in Jeremy Corbyn's cabinet. Do you feel that you have apologised enough now?
I've, as I say, the first thing I did as Labour leader was to apologise to all concerned, our Jewish communities, in relation to anti-Semitism. I wanted that to be the first words I uttered as Labour leader. I repeated that at the Labour Friends of Israel lunch and again recently. I think apologies were necessary, but equally, if not more important, is what action has been taken in relation to deal with anti-Semitism. And I hope that people can see that the words I used have been matched by the actions I've taken.
And you wouldn't call Jeremy Corbyn a friend?
No.
Fantastic.
That's it from the Jewish News Podcast. This episode was produced by me, Michael Daventry. The interview with Sir Keir Starmer was conducted by Jewish News' political editor, Lee Harpin. Please do subscribe to the show in your podcast app. That way you'll hear any previous episode and be informed when new ones become available. And don't forget, for more information on any of the stories that we've featured, you can always go to jewishnews.co.uk. And if you'd like to comment, then we'd love to hear from you. Either try editorial at jewishnews.co.uk or find us on social media. We're on most of the major networks. So from me, Michael Daventry, do join us next time here on the Jewish News Podcast. Goodbye.